Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order, February 21st, 2024. Time is 1:03. Senator Bishop, Senator Keel, Senator Wilson, myself, Stedman are here. The other senators are gallivanting around the building. They think more important business. We'll see. This afternoon, the committee will continue taking public testimony on Senate Bill 186, which is the FY25 operating budget. Senate Bill 187, the FY25 capital budget. Senate Bill 188, the FY25 mental health budget. We've got a limit of a couple minutes per individual that allows everybody to have equal time and allows us to get through the many Alaskans that want to call in and testify or in person on these budgets. Please keep your focus on the legislation in front of us, either the operating budget, the capital budget, or the mental health budget this year. We're going to hear this afternoon from the interior part of the state, Fairbanks, Delta Junction, Tok, Copper River Valley, Glen Allen, the off-nets. Sign-up deadline is 2:30. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick recess here while we have Senator Bishop come forward and chair the meeting as we go through the interior group. We are in recess. All right, we call this afternoon's public comment back to order. We're going to start in the room as we go by time date. And first off, we're going to go with Chris Knoll, Mayor of Denali Borough. You're up first, and we'll like to have Joshua Verhagen come up to the table, set to his, let me see here, would be his left and be in the queue. And then we'll go from there. So welcome, Mayor Knoll. Put yourself on the record. 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, Senator and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chris Knoll, and I have the honor of serving as mayor of the Denali Borough in the interior.
Congratulations on your election.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to take a moment to thank you and your staff for the work you do and your commitment to the state. I'd also like to recognize my colleagues from the interior, and also we have a couple members of our elected body, the Denali Borough Assembly, here in the room with us. And it's an honor, real honor, to be here present on behalf of my community. And I've got a statement I'll just read. Education is the most important service and largest budget item in the Denali Borough. The borough consistently maximizes its local contribution, and so I'm here today to advocate for state support and the shared responsibility we have to provide public education. I encourage you to significantly increase the base student allocation and enact statute that automatically adjusts the BSA for inflation. With increasing fixed costs such as energy, insurance, and people transportation, anything less than an $1,100 BSA increase will lead to the district having to make difficult decisions impacting the educational environment. A BSA increase of $1,100 would enable the district to balance its budget. And that is assuming continued full support from the Denali Borough. I'd also like to encourage you to recapitalize the Community Assistance Fund by $30 million in the FY2025 budget. Community assistance dollars in the borough are used to support nonprofit providers of critical services, including fire and EMS protection, support for mental health and addiction services, and daycare, among many others. I also urge you to appropriate sufficient funds to to the Major School Maintenance Grant Fund to account for the state share of major maintenance needs statewide at our schools. And we've learned a lot about the needs at the Alaska Municipal League Winter Conference that's going on this week. Again, I thank you, members of the committee, your staff, for your service, and thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Mayor, and welcome to Juneau. Next, we're going to go to Mayor Verhagen. Good afternoon, sir, and welcome to Finance. 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today. For the record, my name is Josh Verhagen. I'm the mayor of the city of Nenana, and I had the opportunity to meet by phone with our superintendent yesterday and wanted to advocate for support for the base student allocation, the number that we would need in order to make our balance, our budget balance is $600. And we currently have an estimated $7,800 per student. And so $600 is what we would need to make up the difference in order to make our budget balance. And the other couple of things that I wanted to advocate for the community in the nearby area is public safety. We have a fire department that is consistently underfunded and lacks a lot of the resources needed to provide services to an area much broader than our 5 square miles of city limits. So funding for fire and EMS is a priority of ours, as well as for funding to go to DOT for road maintenance. We have a road resurfacing and improvement project for mile 303 to 306 on the Parks Highway that goes right through our town that we are hoping to get funded. And so that's something I wanted to encourage you guys to support. And lastly, the Alaska Long Trail project is something that our community has been supportive of, that we have been working with Fairbanks North Star Borough to connect our two communities by Long Trail. So if there's an opportunity to provide some funding for that, for recreation, those are a few of the things that matter to our community for this year's budget. So appreciate this opportunity to speak to you all today.
Thank you, Mayor Verhagen. Mayor Ward and Mayor Pruse, would you gentlemen please come up and get seated here at the table, and we're going to kick off with Mayor Ward first. And good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Finance. 2 minutes, please.
Yes, my name is Bryce Ward. For the record, I'm the Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor. Talk about a few things. Number one, I think you've probably been hearing a lot about is education funding. This is certainly a big topic of conversation in the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Our school district is facing tens of millions of dollars in shortfalls. Part of this is due to the BSA adjustments that have not happened over the last few years, as well as dropping enrollment, but then also flat funding from the local community. We're currently working on a number of different issues to try to address this issue. We do have two school closures that we're faced with this year, as well as going to our local elected, our local voters to ask for a tax increase to help fund education. We've been very successful with trying to recapitalize and take care of our community from an infrastructure perspective. We have not received any state funding in a number of years and have taken it upon ourselves to do that work. We're finding ourselves in a bit of a quandary because of our success with capital projects. We're tending to see conversations about why are we spending money on infrastructure recapitalization when we have challenges with schools. So definitely look to the legislature, to the Senate and the House to help us with that issue. It's not just a Fairbanks North Star Borough issue. It really speaks to a broader issue, I think, statewide. We're replacing facilities that are 50 years old through that program. We put about $10 million a year into our capital improvement program. But there are several projects, one in particular, that we're not able to fund with local dollars. That's support of the University of Alaska Fairbanks expansion of its child care facility. They are currently in a bill with the federal funding package to receive money, but need about a $3.5 million increase to that project in order to expand capacity for the community. The borough is very interested in partnering with the university on this, but it's not limited to the Fairbanks North Star borough. I think the need is about $3.5 million for that capital improvement project. Thank you.
Mayor Ward, I'd just like to compliment the borough for stepping up with a 10% match on capital projects for the deferred maintenance. I wish we could do the same here at the state level. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mayor Perus, welcome, and put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. My name is David Perus. For the record, I'm the mayor of the city of Fairbanks, and I come down here to Juneau on a couple items. One is to thank you for the 2023 capital appropriation of $3 million to knock down the Polaris building. I will have you know that we are on schedule and actually under budget for that facility to be down by the end of October. And also, I looked at the state transportation implementation plan that was rejected by the federal government. I believe that the state of Alaska will work through this, but it reminded me how important our interior depends on the state of Alaska Department of Transportation and its road services, its plowing, its maintenance, its paving, the contracts you let out. The city of Fairbanks, we have to be aggressive now to fill our ranks of our public works department. We have two shifts working 4 days a week, 10 hours a day, 20 hours of public works snow plowing, 4 hours of maintenance. And we are feeling the constraints of competition of Willow. 1,800 workers will be going up to Willow. They'll be spending $4 billion up there in 2024. So we have to get aggressive with sign-on bonuses, things like that. It is my wish that you, through the DOT, get aggressive with your workers to fund the vacant positions that you have. Because when I look at it, no matter what, a school bus goes on your road, an ambulance goes on your road, a fire truck goes on your road. Without your internal system, we don't exist. And so I hope you can start addressing that in the future. Thank you.
Mayor Perus, I just want to compliment the Public Works Department and the Northern Region DOT for the, I think they do an outstanding job with snow removal.
That they do.
And thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, next up, we're going to go off net. We're going to go to Brianna Garcia de la Cruz in Fairbanks, Thrive Alaska, Northern Interior Alaska Association for the Education of Young Children. And if I've butchered that up, you're going to put yourself on the record and correct me where I'm wrong. And welcome to Senate Finance in 2 minutes, please. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members of Senate Finance Committee. My name is Brianna Garcia de la Cruz, and I represent the Northern and Interior Alaska Association for the Education of Young Children, also known as NIAAEYC and Thrive Alaska. As a member of the Alaska Early Childhood Advocacy Group and these organizations, we respectfully request additional investment in Alaska's early childhood programs in the fiscal year 25 operating budget. We'd like to begin by acknowledging and thanking you for your leadership in providing additional funding for early childhood in the fiscal year 24 budget. Child care providers have shared the importance of that funding in helping them continue to serve families. Over 148 child care businesses have closed in Alaska since 2019, representing a 20% loss in child care programs. Over 51% of families in Alaska cannot fully participate in the labor workforce due to lack of early childhood education services. Currently, only 47% of families have access to early childhood education services in Fairbanks. Specifically, we are requesting a $30.5 million increase in the state's current funding for Alaska child care programs. This has been the amount early childhood stakeholders have identified for several years as the amount needed to stabilize the child care sector. This increased state funding would be used to support recommendations from the Governor's Child Care Task Force and increased funding for both the child care assistance and the child care grant program. We are also requesting an additional $5.2 million for Alaska's Head Start program. This amount will allow them to meet the full 20% federal match requirement. In many of Alaska's rural communities, Head Start is the only child care option available to families. By investing in both child care and Head Start, you can help support comprehensive access to affordable early childhood education across the state. We thank you for your support of Alaska's children and families. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to stay in Fairbanks. Brooke Freeburg, representing SELF. Ms. Freeburg, 2 minutes, please.
Thank you very much for your time. My name is Brooke Freeburg, and I am the mom to three little boys in Fairbanks, Alaska. We moved to Alaska in 2013, and before we moved here, I did what many families do, and I looked at the school system to pick where to live. And Alaska offered so many amazing school districts that we decided on Fairbanks, though. Since then, in 2013, I've seen a steady decline in the offerings that schools can provide because of funding. Class sizes have been growing and schools have been closing. I understand that in Alaska, many families do choose to homeschool, but for those of us that need to work in order to live here, that's not an option, and all kids deserve a great education. Alaska is a beautiful state, and it's still with many resources, but the most important of all of those is our kids. Not adequately funding education makes families not want to move here, and for those of us, for those of with the financial means, they choose to move away. The BSA has not been increased since 2017, with my understanding. So with inflation, that money goes less than it did. So I'm asking you to meaningfully increase the BSA to $1,413. In order to invest in Alaska, we need to invest in education. Thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate you taking this, allowing me to speak.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Marsha Ose, if I didn't pronounce that right, forgive me. And we're in Fairbanks, representing SELF. Please put yourself on the record.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Yeah, you got my name right. First one in, 11 years since I got married. Thank you very much for hearing me today. And I'm calling in not only for myself, but also for the Fairbanks Reentry Coalition. And I wanted to talk about HB 268 and HB 270. And I remember when the trust brought the Arizona Crisis Now model to Alaska for an annual two-day reducing recidivism conference to show us maybe a possible solution for Alaska to help address recidivism and diversion from incarceration. And I'll admit I was a hard sell, but I kept an open mind, and my mind was changed.
Marcia?
As a result of the week, hello?
Marcia.
Yes.
Our instructions for today are for the operating budget, the capital budget, and the mental health budget. That's testimony is. So if you stick to that.
So I support the $1 million in general funds to support mobile crisis teams, local system with care development and referral support for people experiencing a mental health care or substance use crisis. And I support an additional $250,000 is requested for crisis service grants in the Division of Public Health. I also support allocating $1.5 million in Alaska's food banks and pantries to bridge the gap. The number one concern for most reentrants is food security. And so they utilize the food banks regularly. And finally, I support the homeless assistance program receiving $2.85 million in general funds to continue providing safe housing and support for Alaskans. The majority of the vulnerable population coming home are returning citizens. So that's what I have to ask today. Thank you so much for the hard work and the decisions that you have to make.
Thank you very much. Next, Christina Thurman, Fairbanks, please.
Hi, thank you for taking public testimony. My name is Christina Terman. I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska. I represent myself and my family. I'm calling also in support of raising the base student allocation to at least $1,000. When I read the Alaska Constitution, our legislature is obligated to establish and maintain a public school system for all students. So when I hear Governor Dunleavy's, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. We hear you very well.
Okay, there's a weird interruption. Sorry. So when I hear Governor Dunleavy's ideas of dumping more and more money into charter and home schools while simultaneously not supporting the BSA that is for all students, I'm actually perplexed. Nearly every study I've read, and I'm sure you all know this too, two huge factors in predicting a child's academic success are socioeconomic and parental involvement. And while I personally have no issue with charter schools, I think they're a great option, but they are not an option for everyone. Students who attend these schools come from involved families with the flexibility to get them to and from school without a bus system. So statistically speaking, these are the kids. They're going to do well on tests no matter what school they're at. When we pool them all together, it shouldn't shock us their schools test well. You all represent them and everyone else too, though. So I'm calling today to just like call attention to those people you represent, the underprivileged children who come from families who don't have the resources, the time, the energy, or even the knowledge to know they should be advocating right now. You're going to represent, you are representing the kid who works, has a parent who works two jobs, and the idea of asking them to bring them to charter school is downright laughable. Or the child who is in a neglective family and the only positive interaction they're going to get from an adult invested in their education is at a neighborhood school. Our governor's budget, to me, effectively is stuffing kids like that into classes with 30 other kids and just forking more money towards charter schools. So I'm just calling because I don't think you're going to hear from those kids. I don't think you're going to hear from their parents. And whether they know it or not, they're really counting on you and the House. And I just ask you to do everything you can to find a permanent fix for this education crisis. I don't think any of us want to be back here next spring. So please increase that BSA and make it a permanent solution.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Matt Nunley in Fairbanks, please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Yeah, Chair and members of the committee, my name is Matt Nunley. I'm from Fairbanks, and I'm a state-employed wildland firefighter. I'm calling representing myself and my fellow wildland firefighters. I'm calling to express support for the allocation on the operating budget to increase wages for wildland firefighters in the Division of Forestry and Fire Protection. I've been a wildland firefighter in the state for a decade now, and in just the past 2 years alone, the northern region has lost over 100 years in experience, primarily due to lacking wages and benefits these firefighters are reaping. In an industry built on the knowledge of those who come before us, we're currently heading towards a cliff of experience where there won't be anyone around to show new firefighters the rope and how to safely and effectively fight fire. The state of Alaska is currently 42% behind fairly compensated firefighters elsewhere in the country. This pay disparity has led to a never-ending stream of experienced and well-trained firefighters leaving the state for other agencies. We replace these vacant positions during the season by bringing in resources from outside the state during high fire danger at a cost of 2 to 3 times per individual firefighter than if we had the appropriate staffing in the state. With current vacancy levels in the state, we are unable to have the required preparedness for an average fire year. This means there are currently not enough wildland firefighters in the state to contain and control new fires in an average year. For some context, an average year in acreage burned in Alaska totals several million acres and is above the total amount of acreage burned in all of the lower 48 combined. The state loses significantly when we need to bring in outside resources. They are less effective and far more costly. I urge you to keep this in the budget, as I know many more wildland firefighters will leave the state if we don't start seeing higher wages. And with higher wages, we will also increase our chances to recruit experienced individuals back to the state. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Now we're going to move to North Pole, 10 miles down the Richardson Highway, Alaska Highway. Dr. Laura Haig, Self and Alaska Disability Advocates in North Pole, please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Dr. Laura G. Haig. I am a 30-year resident of Interior Alaska. I've lived in Healy, Fairbanks, and North Pole. I am testifying today in regards to the budgets for the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, specifically for the Behavioral Health Startup Crisis Now grants. I think these services are very needed in Interior Alaska. I would like to also point out the mental health in Alaska is very special compared to the rest of the United States of America because Alaska used to be Russia. We also live in the darkness for a large part of the year. So the mental health issues that exhibit themselves in Alaska are unlike anything seen in the United States of America. We've got a lot of undiagnosed high-functioning autistic people and people that exhibit different personalities, which is just a symptom of living in a state like Alaska where everything is rough and rugged. I believe that this service will help keep a lot of people out of incarceration. There are a lot of people in FCC and that have been chewed up and spit out by the Alaska court system that have had their U.S. civil rights violated unbeknownst to them because services to prevent them from spiraling were not available at the time. I am in big support of any grant funding that supports helping people solve homelessness problems, recidivism. All of that is linked to mental or physical health decline. And in any of the people that are incarcerated in Alaska, if you clearly look at court view, that is literally the evidence of the level of mental health decline that has happened, especially after COVID. Senator Dan Sullivan touched on something that really pulled at my heartstrings today. He said now after COVID, about one-third of the country, 30% of females are contemplating suicide. I have had several family members and clients over the years commit suicide in Alaska, and I would urge the Alaska legislature Senate to really look at the true issues of Alaska if we're going to look at protecting our children properly and if we're going to look at running the state the way our U.S. Constitution intended it, which is full of freedom and civil rights for Alaskans who are now Americans. I really hope that the Senate realizes that a lot of things that happen in Alaska can be looked at as violations of people's U.S. civil rights.
Dr. Haig, could you send the rest of your comments into Senate Finance? I've let you go over for a full minute, so.
That's fine, but thank you for listening to me talk about the importance of mental health and the failure of the Alaska government to address those issues in the past. Thank you.
Jen Gunderson in Fairbanks. Good afternoon. 2 minutes, please, and put yourself on the record.
Hello. Thank you. I'm representing myself. I'm a concerned mom and Fairbanks community member. I'm asking you to please increase the BSA to a meaningful dollar amount, $1,413. I live in Fairbanks, and our school district is currently suffering. I listened to our school board meeting last night, which was almost entirely testimony from parents, teachers, and community members advocating to prevent their schools from closing. We were informed last Friday that it's very likely that Fairbanks Public Schools could lose 4 schools in order to balance our budget. I encourage any senators from the interior to potentially find that on YouTube, that school board meeting, and listen to the heart-wrenching testimony of people in our community. I think it's also really important to share that one of those schools that is could possibly close is on Eielson Air Force Base. These potential closures are not a result of mismanagement on behalf of the school district. We simply have not been funded adequately from our state or for our borough for a very long time. These school closures will fracture our community, and I ask that you please consider using your power to help us prevent this. There are many folks here who have the means to leave this community due to the continued neglect of our children's education. We are at a critical tipping point. Please take this into consideration as you make decisions on the BSA. Please increase the amount to $1,413. And if you are able, encourage members of the House to as well. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate all the hard work that you are doing. And I really appreciate taking the time to listen to your community.
Thank you, Jen, for your testimony. Kristen Shup in Fairbanks, 2 minutes, please.
Hi, I'm Kristen Shup. I live in Fairbanks, and I'm representing myself. I'm asking you to meaningfully support funding education. This means an increase to the BSA by at least $1,400. By not doing so, the future of this state is compromised. In Fairbanks, the school board is looking at having to close an additional 2 more schools after just having to close 3 just a couple years ago. Last night, the school board had about 3 hours of testimony from the community asking that we save their schools and their jobs. I would urge you to watch the testimony that you can find in the school district website so that you can hear what these schools mean to families and what the employees provide. When considering the dollars that you do or do not allocate to education, also consider the lives that you are affecting. Most importantly, the lives of the children who grow up to be our future nurses, police officers, water technicians, energy experts, policy wonks, teachers, legislators, etc. School operating costs increase over time, just like operating our households have. Schools do not live in a bubble unaffected by the financial reality that goes on in the world. The state needs to keep up with the financial reality of operating a functional, thriving school district. Please fund our schools. Our greatest natural resource is our children, and we need to invest in them. Thank you for your time and service.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to stay in Fairbanks. Madeline Hanley, please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Hello, my name is Madeline Hanley. I'm the crew boss of White Mountain Fire Crew, which is a wildland fire crew with the Division of Forestry and Fire Protection. I'm speaking today as an individual wildland firefighter and on behalf of my crew. I want to tell you how vital the increased funding for wildland fire crew pay is to public safety and the safety of our firefighters. Alaska has a long tradition of wildfire jobs and strong fire crews, but that is fading fast due to low pay. In the lead up to the 2023 fire season last year, White Mountain Fire Crew had 17 of our 20 crew members resign, citing low pay and lack of year-round benefits as the main reasons. Most of them now work for federal fire crews or fight fire in other states. This left only 3 people, including myself, to hire and train a crew. It has proved to be incredibly difficult to find people willing to do this arduous and dangerous work for only $17 an hour. The result is that our crews have been unable to meet national qualification standards, we are functioning with many fewer people than the job requires, and the people we do have often lack the experience and knowledge needed to do the job safely. This means that firefighters are at a much higher risk of injury or death on the job, and we cannot protect the public from fires as effectively as we once did. Last summer started out as Alaska's lowest fire season on record in terms of acres burned. This was incredibly lucky, as low employee retention had made the state unusually unprepared for wildfires. We cannot expect to be so lucky again. When fire activity did pick up in mid-July last year, we were forced to bring crews up from the lower 48 to supplement our own resources. These lower 48 firefighters cost the state 2 to 3 times as much per day as our own crews do, and they cannot suppress fire as effectively here because they're not familiar with our forest types. I ask that we learn from last year and increase firefighter pay so that we can build Alaska's fire crews back up to the strong resource they've been in the past. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to Lana DeWild, Fairbanks. Please.
Hello, my name is Lana Rock DeWild. I'm in Fairbanks, Alaska. I've been a wildland firefighter since 1992, a smoke jumper and a hotshot for Alaska Fire Service, and working for the state since in 2013. We provide services not only for fire, but for hurricanes, floods, terrorist attacks. As smoke jumpers, we climb hardwood trees to eradicate the Asian longhorn beetle, burn buffalo habitat, moose habitat. Last year, our initial attack response to fires on Chena Hot Springs Road was crucial, so that those fires didn't blow up and burn homes in that area and cost the state thousands of more dollars. Currently, we have a lot of need for more trained firefighters and less turnover rate. Our pay is too low. Living in a house with no running water, just a wood stove and no electricity. And I'm teaching a red card class every night just to get new people on board coming in, and now it's kind of hard to do the job with no firefighters having experience when we initially attack a fire. I'm worried about them. They might get hurt if they have no one to follow. 20-year-olds don't have 30-year-olds to follow anymore. And now the Type 1 Alaska teams are not going to have people to replace them as they move on. So our large fires like the Shovel Creek Fire and Swan Lake Fire, we won't have Alaska teams to manage these fires either. And with my experience as a wildland firefighter, I go to large fires in mainland United States like Cameron Peak Fire and then the state don't pay my bills. They pay my bills for 40 days, and I bring that money back to Alaska. So if you guys retain firefighters and we have more training, it comes back to you guys. We go somewhere else with our services, and we provide service in California, and they pay our bills, not you guys. Currently, the low experience we have in the state is causing you guys to pay Californians to come here. And then when we do get brand new firefighters, like the ones I'm training tonight, you guys are going to have to pay all their bills for the next 3 years because they don't have experience to go to Colorado and be a helicopter crew member or a manager. They need to get experience to be there. So increasing our pay right now is going to help you guys in the long run. And we're loyal, hardworking people. We're here. We're EMTs. We're going to jump when we need to jump. We know the incident command system. We can work like the military for everyone. And we're like your loyal, hardworking wheel dogs. So don't forget about us and, you know, help us help you. Thank you.
Thank you. You sound like a lead dog to me, so thanks for what you do. Elizabeth, Ned, and Fairbanks, please put yourself on the record, please.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Nadine. I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yes, put yourself up, please. 2 minutes. Fire away.
Oh, okay, go. Thanks. All right, so I am calling in today to voice my support for increasing the budget for public school education in Alaska. My husband grew up in Fairbanks, and I met him in grad school in California, and he convinced me to join him in raising a family here in Alaska. We moved to Fairbanks in 2010, and we both work at the university, and we have two kids in the public school system. I was attracted to Alaska in part because of how much my husband was able to achieve growing up in Fairbanks. And he has so many positive things to say about his education experience here in the 1980s. We've prized our local schools, and over the years I've just gotten sadder and sadder as the class sizes grow. Funding to schools is an annual problem. I had hoped that raising my kids in Alaska meant they'd get an education that would allow them to be competitive in the national and international job markets, and we're falling behind, and I'm frankly getting a little desperate as I watch my friends opt for homeschooling or alternative school programs because public schools can't keep pace. So I'm asking you to commit yourself to increasing the BSA so that Alaska can continue to offer the level of education that will ensure our children's and Alaska's future. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we're going to stay in Fairbanks and go to Elena Suddeth, General Manager, Interior Gas Utility. Good afternoon. Put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Putting myself on the record, my name is Elena Suddeth, and I am testifying today in support of the $20 million capital budget allocation request for Interior Gas Utility's expansion of main lines. Interior Gas Utility is a publicly owned utility, and as such, we do not recoup through rates any return on investment. We don't have shareholders or owners to remunerate. We are instead owned by the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and we have a mission to bring clean-burning natural gas to as many people as possible as soon as possible. IGU was created as a community outcry for cheaper energy in an area of the state and of the country as a whole that is highly challenged with some of the highest costs of energy. As the Cooking Light is having difficulties with availability of natural gas, IGU made the decision to switch to the North Slope for natural gas supply. Our partner, Harvest Midstream, is building a liquefaction facility near Dead Horse, and we will start trucking natural gas from there later this year. This move will allow Interior Gas Utility and Interior Alaska to have security of supply as far as natural gas goes, so we will not have the same challenges that the South Central is currently facing, but it does not come at no cost. When combined, the cost of feedstock, liquefaction, and transportation are about 10% more from the North Slope than the same comparable costs in the Cook Inlet. As we as a state consider the measures that are necessary to address the issues in the Cook Inlet, the best thing we can do to be equitable to Interior Alaska is to allocate funds for mainline extensions. because extending these main lines without having to incur debt that then has to be paid back from rates will allow Interior Gas Utility to continue adding customers, which in turn will give us the ability to spread the fixed costs over a higher population of consumers, thus keeping up with inflation without letting it affect rates or even lowering the cost of natural gas at the meters. Thank you for all of your work. Thank you for the consideration on this matter, and I'm happy to answer whatever questions you might have.
All right. Thank you for that presentation. Next, we're going to stay. Now we're going to go to Anchorage here for a second, and for 2 minutes exactly. So, Maria Legend in Anchorage, please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Oh, are you talking right now?
Yes, you're live.
Okay, hi. My name is Maria Legend, and I am representing myself along with my family, Keandre, Pilo, Javon, Aliyah, Saena, including my fellow Alaskan Native family within the municipality of Anchorage. 1 year ago, I gave my first testimony, and I would like to say I dedicated my time to improve my mental health along with my housing situation, and I just wanted to call and say thank you so much for funding certain committees that I had asked for, and I wanted to continue to ask if you could continue to fund the Division of Public Health Crisis Services along with the Homeless Assistance Program, the Special Needs Housing, and the Central Accommodation Fund. I do have a son that is mentally ill, and he is an assistant living home. Along with myself, I just lost my home about a few months ago, but I am being taken care of, and I just want to say thank you for your time, and please consider continue funding these bills that I am asking for.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we're going to go to Esther. Nikki Eisman. Hello, Nikki, and put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Hi, Nikki Eisman, Esther, Alaska, E-I-S-E-M-A-N. And I have to ask, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Awesome. So first I want to thank the Senate for generally being supportive of education. Not here to waggle my finger at you too much. And I, in particular, want to thank my Senator Cliff Bishop for always being a big supporter of education. So obviously, I'm here to speak about the importance of investing in public education. I arrived in Fairbanks 50 years ago this coming summer and never left. The town raised me. It raised my children. They got an incredible public education. And now I have 4 grandchildren about to entering our system. And I know just from the diminished offerings that though they will have hardworking, amazing educators and great school communities, that they no longer have the same opportunities that were offered to my kids when they went to school because we have not continued to support our public schools. So I have, you know, skin in the game. I've got grandchildren. But also beyond that, I know how important it is that we keep young families in this town. We've all been hearing so much about out-migration, and the people that are leaving are the very people we need to be keeping, the ones that build, that are starting businesses, the ones that are contributing to the tax base, and they're the ones that have children, and they're the ones that are looking to us to provide strong funding for public education. One last bit that really sticks in my craw is I watched Fairbanks and the state work so hard to court the F-35s and bring them to Eielson. And we promised them great schools, and we promised them a great, strong university, and I feel like we have failed on both fronts. And I was at the school board meeting last night, and, you know, people spoke for 3 hours about you've no doubt heard that Fairbanks is talking about closing potentially 4 schools. One of them, Ben Eielson Junior High School, you know, junior and senior high school. And, you know, the board has to make that tough decision, and they have to make it in light of so many factors. But boy, it sure feels like it's going to be egg on our face if we end up closing the school at Ben Ielson after we work, you know, the rallies that we had. We are your town. So anyway, thank you. And thank you again for supporting education. And yep. Thank you.
Thank you for that testimony, Nikki. Next, we're going to go to Gakona, Heidi Hatcher. In Gakona, Heidi, put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Heidi Hatcher. I'm a resident of Gakona in the Copper River Basin, and I'm requesting that you fully fund or increase early learning coordination and pre-kindergarten granting opportunities. My husband and I both work for the state of Alaska, but I'm testifying on my own time. We've lived in the Copper River Basin since 2015. We have two small children, and our experience in rural Alaska has been that it's nearly impossible to start or raise a young family out here while maintaining careers. There are zero daycare facilities in our area. We are lucky that our four-year-old made it into the local Head Start program this year, which has been a big help. Programs like Head Start are crucial for helping families and children be successful in rural Alaska, and they deserve your full support. Thank you very much for your time and the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. I'd just like to let everyone know on the off net that's 2:30 is our deadline for sign up. We're going to take a 15-minute at ease as we have our deck cleared. So we're at ease for 15 minutes. The Senate Finance is back in order under public testimony. Jacqueline Mulbar and Mulbar in Fairbanks, please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Hi, thank you for hearing public testimony today. It's Mule Bauer, and I wanted to testify here from Fairbanks about our school funding needs and crisis, I think is the correct word at this time. 2 years ago, two or three schools were forced to close, and they are now district buildings. And we're looking at 4 more schools to close, one of which my 2 kids go to. I moved here to Fairbanks 3 years ago. We didn't have to come here. We came here because opportunity for my husband and myself were plentiful. We could have a life here that we couldn't have in the lower 48. And I am very grateful and I'm proud to be a Fairbanks Alaskan. My kids get a high quality education at their community school, an education they did not get in Arizona at a charter school where we paid for them to get a higher education, a better education, because in Arizona is the last state in the union for school. There is no funding there. I hate to see Alaska become like Arizona, where kids, parents have to choose between a community or a school where they have to pay or sports or all the other things that come with schools. I was lucky to be raised in a community school, and I want that for my kids, and I think that's fair, and that's the right of every citizen in our country to have a free education where they can thrive and be kids and safe and not have to worry about funding or budgets or scraping so that we can provide for our children just so they can go to school. So thank you. Please fund our schools, fund our education so that we don't have to see these schools closed, because it's not fair to our kids and they're the future.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to Brandy Hardy, school board member of Fairbanks, testifying as herself. Brandy?
Hi. My name is Brandy Hardy, and I am a current member of the Fairbanks School Board, but I am testifying on my own behalf today. And I'm testifying to urge, well, first to thank this body, because I know that they are supportive of education and that you have already shown that with many of your past votes. But to urge you to stay strong for our schools, their education. I sat through a board meeting last night and listened to hours upon hours of public testimony that would break your heart. And I urge any of you to listen. If you want to hear through the spin of people saying that our schools are failing, even with less, our schools are thriving and our school communities, They are strong and they don't want to close. We need more funding. I was just sent a chart today. The Anchorage School District put it together, and a budget is priorities. And in this chart, I'm sure somebody will give you at some point in time, it goes through the changes over time from 2017, the last time we had a BSA increase, to what's proposed now. And you have, like, Department of Corrections has seen a 42.6% increase. The governor's office, 23.3% increase. The legislature, 25.7% increase. But when you look at our schools, they've seen a 3.4% decrease in funding. And yet we know we've had record high inflation. We cannot continue to not prioritize the future of Alaska. Our children are our future. I am a military spouse. I was born and raised here in Fairbanks. And when my husband got out of active duty, we came back here to raise our kids. And now I'm terrified that we made a bad choice because Alaska isn't prioritizing the education of its children. We have to do better. Our legislature has a constitutional duty to support education in our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy. Okay, we're caught up. We're going to take a 15-minute recess till 2:30. call this Senate Finance Committee back to order. Public comment. It's 2:30. Iris Sutton, Fairbanks. Please put yourself on the record. 2 minutes, please.
Hi there. My name is Iris Sutton. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. I live in Fairbanks. Both my children go to Pearl Creek or went to Pearl Creek Elementary School. Now only one of them is still there. I went to Pearl Creek Elementary School myself. It's one of the best schools in Fairbanks, and it's now on the docket to be closed. It's a full school. I don't know where all these students would go. And so I'm asking that you could please fund our schools. Our schools have been cut and cut and cut as far as the programs offered. They're not nearly as good as they were when I went to school. I am 42, so that was a while ago. But the Fairbanks North Star Borough has had an amazing school district, and it still has an amazing school district that could be so much better if we can fund our schools. And I'm asking for you all to put your money into our future. Our future is our schools, and our children need a good education to be able to be the best they can be and provide the best future for Alaska. I've lived in this state my whole life. I have no intention of ever moving. I can't imagine my children living anywhere else either because they love it here. And we deserve good schools. There are more than 400 schools that, or 400 students at Pearl Creek. There's an amazing principal at Pearl Creek. There's a teachers that have been there for many, many years. And I know that a lot of schools can't say that because of the high turnover rate. But this school is one of the best in Fairbanks. And the building is older. So yes, it requires a little more maintenance than some of them, but I'm just asking that overall you fund our schools, you fund the art, you fund music education. Those things are important to all students, and it's important to a rounded education. If you want mathematicians and engineers, they need to have all that basic stuff to get to that point. So this is probably the most important thing you can do in this state, to fund the schools. Thank you.
Iris, thank you for your testimony. That concludes this afternoon's meeting on public comment on the budget. And tomorrow's meeting schedule will kick off at 9 a.m. The committee will be taking public testimony from Nome, Kotzebue, Utqiagvik, Bethel, Unalaska, Dillingham, and then the off-net as well. We are adjourned at 2:35.